When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.
Hello, everybody. My name's Tanner.
Hi, everyone. My name's Amanda.
And this is the Cozy Cryptid. Welcome for joining us if you're new. And thank you for coming back if you're a returning listener.
Yes, we really do appreciate it.
This week... Join us this week as we explore the Mexican state of Morelos. We bring you tales of increasing sightings of UFOs and strange human type being observed and filmed around Mexico's five largest volcanoes. Tales of the cryptid Cocoy or the Coco Man, and the inclusion of ghostly tales of strange events occurring on Mexico's subway systems that we started in.
The last episode. So this is going to be part two.
Part two, yes. Hope you guys had a great week, by the way, and enjoyed the episode with Daniels, the psychic.
That was a good episode.
And healer, and spiritual healer. And
especially, she's into Reiki. Reiki classes. We would definitely have her back on to talk more about more of what she does.
Especially, like, you had a ton of questions to ask her.
Then I also would like to see if she would do a reading.
Actually, yes. She said she would do a free reading for both you and Mom.
I would love to do a reading if she could about Mom, if she is a type of medium.
I'll let her know.
And we can record it and do an episode with it.
Did you try to contact her?
I have not yet. I looked at her page and everything like that, and I followed her on Instagram.
Yeah. All right. First up is the, okay. Here we go. Let's start right about
UFOs and humanoids.
Yeah. The date was Monday, June 9th, 2014, and the time was 8:19 a.m. Mexico was waking up. Get your phone away from the.
I just turned it off so it doesn't ring.
No, but you're...
Oh, interference. Sorry.
Yeah. I said, what the hell was that?
Ow.
And thousands of Mexicans were tuned into the Televisa Network morning program on Channel 4 called El Monero. The show is typical of morning shows around the world. news and current events, mixed with human interest stories to give people a light start to their day. On that Monday, however, the Lighthearted Morning Show was taking an interesting and unexpected twist. Sorry, I butchered through that goddamn paragraph.
Yeah, a little bit. Glancing up over their breakfast or morning coffee, tens of thousands of viewers would report seeing something curious going on behind the show's announcers. As a background, El Monore had live footage of Popocatépetl. I don't know if I said that right. Oh, I'm sorry for butchering it. Mexico's most active volcano, which had occasionally been spewing ash and smoke into the air since earlier in 2012. From out of the fumes of smoke, as viewers would call in to report, a black object emerged. It hovered for a while and then moved off screen to the right.
Hovering is... You think it's hovering because of the hot air coming from off the... like a
kind of like how a lantern would, because you need hot air. Possibility. Or it could be something more.
Maybe. The young announcer did not even know what was going on in the screen behind him. He continued reporting the news. When calls started to come in about this black UFO emerging from the volcano, researchers were quick to try to verify the sighting by other means. A popular site called Webcams de Mexico had a 24-hour camera fixed on Popocatépetl from the town of Santiago Zalatztila in the Mexican state of Puebla. From a different angle, the camera caught the same black object emerging from the volcano at the same time as what visitors saw on the El Monero show. This is not the first or the last time that strange object has seen either coming out or hovering around Mexico's iconic volcanoes. In addition to many UFOs reported in and around the volcanic zones, witnesses have also reported the appearance of strange humanoids, which may or may not be related to what people are seeing in the skies.
Unknown to many outsiders, Mexico is home to five volcanoes that stand over 15,000 feet tall. The tallest among them at 18,491 feet is Pico del Osbren. I don't even know if I said that, but we'll roll with that. Which is the second highest volcano in the world after Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. The next in order of height at 17,802 feet is the Popocatépetl, the famous mountain which looms in the distance and is easily visible from Mexico City. Of all the 500,000-plus-tall volcanoes in Mexico, Popocatépetl is the only one classified as active. The next highest at 17,160 feet is Tecatu, which is the indigenous language, means white women. Early Spanish-speaking inhabitants of the area nicknamed the volcano La Muerte de Mayo, the sweeping woman, because of its resemblance to an inclining female in silhouette. Man, we really are butchering these paragraphs.
Yeah. According to Aztec legend, Iztaccíhuatl was once a princess who fell in love with one of her father's warriors named Popocatépetl. In a sort of Romeo and Juliet fashion, with a distinctive Mesoamerican twist. When the princess heard the false news the warrior had been killed in combat, she died of grief. When Popocatépetl returned home to find that his love had died, the gods covered them both with snow and turned them into mountains. Iztaccíhuatl is virtually snow-capped.
In fact, the other two taller volcanoes previously mentioned also have glaciers on them, which is a surprising piece of trivia for foreigners who tend to think of Mexico in terms of beach resorts, harsh deserts, and steamy jungles full of undiscovered ruins. The highest peak in Mexico all have alpine rescue teams attached to them, much like what they have in places such as Switzerland.
Excellent. The last two volcanoes in Mexico that are above 15,000 feet are Nevado de Toluca, which stands at 15,350 feet, and Sierra Negra, which stands at 15,223 feet, and is located right next to the tallest peak, Pico de Orizaba, on the border of the Mexican states of Puebla and Veracruz. All volcanoes mentioned are located in the central part of the country in what geologists call the Trans-Mexican Volcanic Belt. All the Mexican volcanoes have a strange phenomenon associated with them, including unusual lights and objects in the sky, and mysterious beings seen by hikers in inaccessible areas.
A simple online search of OVNI, which is Spanish for UFO, along with any of the peaks listed here, will get a whole host of articles and video clips of unknown flying objects in and around the volcanoes. As nearly everyone in Mexico now has a camera attached to their mobile phones, footage of unexplained objects in the sky are more and more common. Knowing that the volcanoes are hotspots for UFO activity, some researchers have come up with interesting nighttime footage by using infrared cameras. The most common objects filmed around the volcanoes are orbs, discs, cylindrical objects, and a strange phenomenon of what appears to be flying humanoids.
Superman?
That also will make me laugh.
On January 4th, 2014, inside the caldera of Nevado de Toluca, a hiker recorded a greenish-yellow orb emerging out of one of the small lakes inside the volcano. At first, the hiker thought it was a duck or goose, but the object assumed a spherical form and seemed to float along the surface of the lake and among the boulders and rocks of the inside of the volcano. The object never left the caldera and went back into the lake. The lake inside Nevado de Toluca are said to be the home of the Tehuacana, a freshwater mermaid type creature that predates the Aztecs.
That is cool.
I think we talked about that before.
I think so, I just don't remember when.
Let us know.
The orbs, either metallic or made of bright glowing light, are the most common UFO sighting over all the volcanoes in Central America. Central Mexico.
Holy shit. Well, it's technically still America.
True, but still.
Yeah.
Next on the list are metallic saucer-like objects. On February 6, 2016, a driver on a main highway passing by Pico del Asbury took a picture of a disc-shaped object that made national television. When the photo was analyzed, it was judged not to be an enhancement or fake. And the object appeared to be as large as a commercial airliner.
That's huge.
Yes. Extremely huge.
A glowing cylindrical object was filmed on December 2nd, 2012. In the skies above the snowy white is Tecatutla, blah, blah, blah. It was also witnessed by hundreds of people in the area. The most famous cylindrical UFO was captured by webcams de Mexico over Popocatépetl. Earlier that year, on October 25th, it was seen disappearing inside the volcano and never coming out.
The active volcano Popocatépetl seems to have more activity around it and is the only peak on which strange humanoids have been observed both on the ground and flying in the air. Yeah, I'm trying not to break your mic, so I don't mess with it.
Perfect. Sounds up there.
The paranormal Mexican television show Tres Mignon, hosted by investigative journal Jamie Humison, boasts that it has been reporting of flying humanoids spotted near the slopes of Popocatépetl since 1999. There are many video clips of strange, dark, human-like figures floating around in the air in a seated or standing position. Some look like they are wearing jetpacks.
Ooh, interesting. Invisible jet? Mm. Invisible jet?
I don't know, make me laugh.
This De Bastidlin in the Mexican state of Morelos, located between the Nevado de Loco and Mosquitol volcanoes, Gerardo Valenzuela recorded what he looked like a standing man in black hovering over his town. This was July 8th, 2000, 5 years later. On June 17th, 2005, Horacio Roquet filmed a flying humanoid in a seated position over southeastern Mexico City. The most famous flying humanoid footage was taken by amateur sky watcher Salvador Ramirez from the town of Estecapec on December 17, 2014, in the middle of the afternoon. Ramirez stated that the object had intelligent movements, and his footage shows clearly that the figure had a pair of dangling legs.
All right. The humanoid seen on the ground on the slopes of the volcano Popocatépetl may or may not be related to the unidentified objects or human figures in the air, but many researchers believe they are. According to Ortega Tangle, director of the national park that encompasses both Popocatépetl and the other volcano. Many hikers have seen human-like creatures on the slopes of the volcanoes for years. The creatures are described as thin and very tall, ranging from 7 to 8 feet in height. They are the color of the volcano soil and move rapidly among the landscape. Some researchers have claimed that these beings are in the same as those reported in Chile on the slopes of a volcano called Misty, a sort of Bigfoot-like creature covered in hair called El Macun by the locals in Chile. Whoa. Ow, my tooth.
Yeah, Bigfoot's everywhere, dude. Kind of a slut.
Oh, he laughed.
Sorry. The tall, hairy beans spotted on the slopes of Popocatépetl are said to be a recent phenomenon, with no mentioning in indigenous lore and only date back a few decades, which have led some to believe that the creatures are not native to the area and are more recent arrivals. Famous Mexican mountaineer Guillermo Videla's described on camera his encounters with the creature on the icy slopes of the volcano. He said he was in the Las Gritas area of the mountain on the route to the top the crater when he saw a tall, thin, brown, human-looking being climb the volcano at a very rapid place. The creature did not wear any equipment, which was strange in such extreme weather.
The next day, Valdez and his team found tracks in the snow. The footprints had what appeared to be indentations of claws coming from the back of the leg, which probably assisted the creature in climbing, much like a hiker's crampon.
Yeah. On December 15, 2014, acclaimed UFO researcher Ana Luisa Cid interviewed a man called Jose Antonio Cisneros about his recent experiences on the slopes of Popocatépetl. Cisneros claimed that there are two types of unknown beings that live on the volcano. A smaller being that is mostly white with large black eyes, which serves as a sort of custodian to the forest. Cisneros also claimed to have contact with the taller, thin beings being reported by many other hikers in the past 20 years. Cisneros said that he believed that the taller, thinner human-like creatures are part of the UFO phenomenon and come directly from extraterrestrial spacecrafts.
So why is there such a strangeness surrounding the Mexican volcanoes? There seems to be as many theories as there are researchers on the topics discussed. Some believe that the sightings on the webcams and infrared devices are easily explained away as light from helicopters and other aircrafts, or even celestial bodies like the Moon or Venus. The hardcore skeptics claim that photos or footage showing UFOs are elaborate hoax or innocent tricks of light.
UFO and paranormal researchers who believe that objects and beings associated with them have more extraterrestrial explanations theorize several things with regard to the volcanoes. Volcanoes may serve as portals to secret underground bases, The panels may also be the source for raw materials to fuel interstellar spacecraft or serve other purposes. Humanoids are explained as serving as scouts or part of Renekton's missions.
Whatever the explanations, the sightings of strange objects in the sky and strange creatures on the ground in and around the famous Mexican volcanoes seem to be increasing over time. As with many mysteries, perhaps time will tell.
Alrighty, we'll be back with a... Once we say a little something about... Help us support the show. Yeah. We'll be back with a way you help support the show. Hello, everybody. My name's Tanner. I'm the host of the show. And with me,
this is co-host and soon to be wife, Amanda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let you know how you can help support the show just by going over and getting yourself some cool clothes.
What kind of cool clothes?
Like, you know that jacket I got? That
really expensive one that your mom wants?
Yeah. I got that off of Brute Impact.
Aren't they environmentally... Don't they
have no, environment? That's another one.
So many.
They, what they do, help out, like, with World of Hunger and stuff. They help with that. Gotcha. But they're going to give Cozy Cryptid listeners... 25% discount with code 25_Tanner at checkout.
Nice. And they have some really cool clothes, guys.
You got hats, jackets.
I want to steal his denim jacket.
I'll bring it up here. So for guys, you check it out. Let's take a gander.
Yeah, I like that shirt.
Yeah. They got kimonos, I think.
They actually have some nice items. And even their sunglasses are nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you.
I still like that jacket.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, that's a cool jacket.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. With the dog.
Yep. It's called Backup Denim Jacket. That is really cool.
You can check them out at bruteimpact.com and use code word 25Tanner. 25_Tanner at checkout. Save 25% off your order. And we are going to turn back to the show. What? Oh, yeah. It's my turn anyway. Yeah. All right. So, I like your socks, by the way. Very cute.
Kill Bill. Except I did not realize there's a huge gaping hole in them.
Yeah. Get the hobo sock hole. In the year 2001, Cinco Puntos Press out of El Paso published a bilingual children's book, El Cocoy, written by Joe Hayes. Hayes, who had lived in the American Southwest since his childhood, is the consummate storyteller and collector of legends and folktales. It was Hayes' book that finally brought the Cocoy out from under the beds and out of the dark closets of Mexican children's rooms and into the light of day of the English-speaking world.
What's been called the Hispanic version of the Boogeyman has been terrifying children throughout Mexico for centuries. Well, if you think the Cocoy is based on a real creature, some may be surprised to learn that the creature's origins go back to prehistoric Celtic Europe. So what is the Cocoy? What does it look like? What does this legend serve?
Well, we can start with the story of the Kokoi as related by Joe Hayes in his children's book. There was once a man who lived in a small Mexican village with his three daughters. His wife died, leaving the man to raise the three girls on his own.
Poor man.
That's very hard. We can relate. The youngest of the three daughters was very helpful around the house, recognizing that without their mom around, the father was left to spend 12 hours a day working along with all the responsibilities of two parents. The older daughters saw their younger sister as somewhat of a goody two-shoes. The older girls were always out playing or doing whatever they wanted, while the younger girl was stuck doing all the chores. When the younger daughter pleaded for help from her sisters, she was met with laughter and derision.
Rude.
Sounds like Cinderella.
Pretty much, actually. One day, the younger daughter went to the father to plead with him to force the other girls to help her. But that only made matters worse for her. The older sister began to sabotage the younger girl's work, throwing ash from the fireplace on the newly cleaned floors, or tying knots into the fresh laundry drying on the clothesline. The father, tired of the antics of the older girls and their attitude of overall laziness, threatened to call the Kokoi to come and get them. The older girls thought this threat was funny.
The Kokoi is described as being tall and furry, with red eyes and a peculiar red ear that's bigger than its normal ear. It was with this big red ear that the creature could hear misbehaving children. Some said from a distance of 250 miles. That's pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
This snarling creature would have abduct bad children, take them to his cave in the mountains, and eventually eat them. And this served as a lesson to young children to behave and mind their parents.
The older sisters mocked the fairy tale and did not take...
It's kind of fucked up, though.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And didn't take the father's threat seriously. When the father heard of his daughter's continued bad behavior, he went outside and called out to the Kokoi by name. This made the two older girls even more irrelevant. And they continued to make fun of the situation and torment their younger sister. Then townsfolk reported seeing a large, upright, hairy creature enter their little village. The creature made a beeline to the house of the widower and snatched up the older girls. The Kokoi swiftly took the girls to his mountain hideaway, a dark cave with a deep pit. He put the girls in the pit and fed them one tortilla per day, enough to barely keep them alive.
After about a week, a shepherd tending his herd of goats on the mountain went to rescue a goat. He had his hoof stuck between two rocks. After the goat was freed, the goat herder heard the wailing sounds of two girls inside the pit. The goat herder entered the cave and rescued the two, talking them down the mountain, taking them down the mountain and back into town. And the disappointed daughters were reunited with their father and little sister and begged the man never to call the Kokoi on them again. The father never did because the girls never gave him reason to. From then on, the girls helped out around the house and stopped being mean to their little sister.
Today, that little Mexican town is home to the great-great-great-grandchildren of the three sisters and is known throughout Mexico for having the most polite and well-behaved children anywhere in the country because no one wants the Kokoi to return.
It's kind of fucked up.
It is, but it's effective.
There are many variations to the story, and in various versions of the legends that Kokoi can be a hairy half-woman-like creature, as in the Joe Hayes retelling, or an old man, a ghost, or a large reptilian being. And some some place. In some stories, the Kokoi is cloaked, much like the Grim Reaper. In other stories, he's carrying a skull or something like a jack-o'-lantern that resembles a skull. Lack of uniform description of the creature and the various ways in which the legend is told suggests a very ancient and diffuse origin. The only thing that all Kokoi stories have in common, it has to do with their use as a term or punishment for bad behavior of children. The overall message, like the boogeyman of the English-speaking world, is that if you misbehave or disobey adults, the Kokoi will come after you, take you away, and the consequence will be severe.
In some parts of the Spanish-speaking world, including some parts of the American Southwest, the Kokoi is known as the Cuckoo or the Cuckoo-man. Language historians have tracked a trace of the origin Kokoi from Coco. This word was used to refer to a ghost with the head of a pumpkin. Linguists believe that comes from a Celtic word, cron, meaning head.
The first written record of what became the Kokoi is found in a book from Portugal, dating to the year 1274, called Livro III de Tocos de Dom Alfonso de Cerrero, or English, Book 3 of Grants of King Alfonso III. The Coco is described as a malignant sea creature. There are other sources from hundreds of years ago on the Iberian Peninsula describing the Coco as a large semi-aquatic reptile with spikes and a shell like a giant, like a gigantic tortoise. Coca Fera was described this way and thrived on a daily diet of 3 cats and 3 bat children.
4 kitties.
Poor kids.
In the 1400s, in the area of modern-day Portugal and some parts of modern-day Spain, the Coco was often symbolized by something representing a severed head. A hollowed-out vegetable was often carved with a scary face to represent the creature, or a severed head may have been carved out of wood or fashioned out of clay to scare children to believe in the Kokoi's representation. The English word coconut comes from the Portugal legend of the severed head of the coco, and this fruit was so named when it was first encountered by the ship's captain by Portuguese explorer Vasco de Gama in the late 1400s.
Some stories of the Kokoi or the coco have the creature wearing a cloak like Grim Reaper, harbinger of death. This element may come from another old Iberian source. In old Portugal, as part of the celebration from Holy Week called Proceso dos Passos, a man heads a procession to announce the death of Christ. The man was either called Coco or Ferro Coco, and the word Coca was also described the hood of the man in war. Also, in Portugal, hooded people called Farra Coco responsible for gathering the remains of people who were recently executed.
The colony of New Spain saw Portuguese immigrants during this period, and early versions of the Kokoi legend probably came off the ships along with the passengers from Portugal. Like legends do, the Portuguese Coco slowly changed to meet the local conditions. It was no longer reptilian, and the cloak was optional.
The Mexican Kokoi has more of a tendency to be a large furry creature with fangs and claws, much like shape-shifting Nagual of the ancient Aztecs and their subjugated peoples. With the recent increase of immigration from Latin America to the United States, the story of the Kokoi has officially entered new territory. It will be interesting to see what will happen in the upcoming decades as this ancient legend Mexican becomes more Americanized.
Throughout its many changes before and after its arrival to the New World and across geographical areas, the Kokoi has never divided from its main purpose to terrify children into obedience. Modern-day parenting experts caution adults from frightening children with stories like the Kokoi and claim that the use of such scary stories to get complex from the young is cruel and unnecessary. In spite of this, there is no indication that the Kokoi will be killed off anytime soon. Okay.
Well, as Amanda is taking a quick break, let's take a break of our own as we talk about another way you can help support the show. All right, a couple of things we want to mention here is, first off, it's MakeMySetup.com. MakeMySetup.com is a small business started by some college kids, and they sell streaming gear like RGB lights, console cases, phone cases, keyboards, pads, mouses, cable organizers, and stuff like that. So if also if you need to start a stream and make your stream look nice and pretty, get keyboards and stuff like that. And they are giving Cozy Cricket listeners a 10% discount with code word get cozy at checkout. They are also help support cancer treatment centers for kids. They help, they give them like toys and stuff and games to help these kids dealing with cancer feel like a kid again while they can. So to help support the charities and help support the show, use code word get cozy at checkout when you shop at MakeMySetup.com. And next up, after that, is Snazzer. Snazzer is a hat brand that is has a mission to make sure that we are environmentally sound in the future. They have a bunch of cool hat designs and different styles, different designs on them. They're giving Cozy Crypto listeners 35% discount with code word CozyCaps at checkout. And finally, once again, that's snazzerx.com. Use code word CozyCaps at checkout for 35% off. And finally, the last one for this break segment is ketones.
Oh, we're doing this.
So ketones is a brand of ketone that helps your body get into ketosis.
Exactly. It's a scientifically fermented ketone that puts your body into ketosis.
You need to like get it all in that mic. It's not picking you up.
Can't. I'm sitting at the edge of the damn bed.
Put your feet over the edge.
I don't like sitting that way. I like crisscross. You gotta be fucking shitting me.
Are you really fell out?
Yep.
That's fucking ridiculous, dude.
Yeah. I'm calling them now. I'll be back.
Hold on a second, damn. So, tell me more about these ketones.
I feel more like into that after my tooth fell out. Too far from the mic. So with ketones, it not only gives you better mood stability. Can you hear me now?
It's not picking.
Can you hear me now? I don't know.
This is you. You're number two.
So I'm completely dead.
Let me see what's going on. I think I know what's up. Okay, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I lost my train of thought now.
Ketones.
Not only help your mood stability, they put you actually in a better mood. They help you wake up easier. They give you better energy. But the best part is they also help you lose weight.
and there's a ton of different flavors. We just actually released cotton candy. They did cotton candy, but now it's snow cone.
Snow cone.
Yeah, that's their new release that we have out right now. And I believe key lime pie was the other one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't like key lime pie, though.
Why?
I don't like the taste.
Okay.
But there are a ton of different flavors, and we do have trial packs. And if you guys want some more information, you can go on Cozy Cryptid TikTok, or actually,
Luca
shop Luca nine no Luca 9321 dot shopketone.com, and that will bring you to my site, and you can see all the different products I have. Soon, I will be doing a 10-day challenge, which is drinking ketone for 10 days straight, both morning and night, which is supposed to help you lose weight. And I will also be doing a 24-hour fast.
24-hour fast.
Yes. They have a kit that does a whole 24-hour fast for you. Sets up everything you eat, take, and gives you the whole shebang. So if anyone's interested in joining me, order a case and I'll do a challenge with you.
Yeah. Thank you. I hope you guys enjoy all the wonderful flavors of ketones. And we'll be back with, and we're back with the show here in a bit.
Dude, I'm fucking pissed.
Okay. The gigantic rats and rat-like creatures. The tunnels of Metro Line 3. The olive-colored Metro Line 3 is the longest line in the whole Michigan State City subway network. It runs north to south from the Indios Verde station to Universidad. A small northern tunnel section of this line draws a lot of attention from curiosity seekers. I've heard strange stories of unusual creatures spotted between the Tlatelolco and La Raza stations. According to urban legends and some eyewitnesses' accounts, rats as large as dogs roam tracks and have even attacked people.
Damn.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. As early as the 1970s, rumors spread of a rat the size of a pig that came out from the darkness of the tunnel and killed a young girl while she was waiting for a train on the platform with her parents. Transit workers and commuters alike have also reported seeing a hunched over deformed humanoid figure covered in fur looking around the tracks in the semi-darkness of the tunnels near the Tapaco station. Further south along the same line, Metro Line 3, a similar creature has been spotted in the tunnels near the Vero station. Commuters have dubbed this creature the Rat Man.
From the Vero station, south through the tunnel to the next stop, Miguel Angel de Cuevato, Metro passenger, have reported hearing a shrill, shrieking sound which are attributed to this Timothy Davison, a.k.a. the Rat Man. As reports of this creature just simply misidentified transients or vagrants living in tunnels, or does the Mexico City subway system really have gigantic rats roaming the metro seeking unexpected prey?
All right, so this story is called The Friendly Apparition of a Loyal Transit Worker.
Okay.
The setting for this story is in the Pan Sansarine station at the junction of the Pink Line and Blue Line, or Lines 1 and 2 of the Mexico City subway station. The station is well known because it features a practically unearthed section of an ancient pyramid dedicated to the Aztec god of wind. I can't even see. Itacat? It was built sometime in the 1490s. The temple was discovered during the station's construction in the late 1960s.
The station is well known for a strange story that seemed to repeat itself every few years. The last telling of the story happened only a few years ago. If I can fix my... Yeah. Okay. After the last train departed for the night, a worker in charge of checking out the tracks at the station ran into a Metro employee who was doing something similar. This confused the worker to see someone else doing his job. He thought that the person checking the tracks was probably new and reported for work in the wrong place. So the worker confronted the person. The stranger said that it was also his job to check the tracks after the last train had left the station.
The transit worker took a picture of the man on his cell phone and showed it to his supervisor. The shocked supervisor recognized the man in the cell phone photo. He was a Metro worker who had died many years ago, killed by a runaway train while he was expecting the tracks. Transit employees who spend time on the tracks are supposed to stand towards the direction of oncoming traffic. The inspector who died had turned the wrong way and didn't have time to respond to the runaway train that hit him from behind. Ouch.
Got railed.
Literally.
The supervisor spoke with some of the old timers, and they too remember seeing the friendly apparition of the worker still doing his job decades after accident took his life. Goddamn.
Yeah.
I can't get out of work for nothing. I'm stuck on this goddamn job.
All right. The ancient
Aztec ghost.
Traveling through the heart of Mexico, the blue lines cut through what 500 years ago would have been the center of ancient Aztec capital of. What are you doing with your hand?
Nothing.
Uh-huh. Tenochtitlan. I don't know if I said that right. On this line, strange apparitions have appeared before transit workers and travelers at both the Pinsaran. I can't even freaking speak with my tooth. Pinosarans and Zocco stations, and the telling going to and from these stations. The most common apparition is one of ancient Aztec man.
There are many variations to this sighting, which may indicate separate ghostly beings or perhaps just poorly observed phenomenon. In all stories, the apparition is always male, and he is always dressed in indigenous clothing from pre-conquest times. In many versions of the story, the man is crying, perhaps longing for a time in a sea that once was. In quite a few versions, the man interacts with people of this world in a friendly way, and even speaks to them.
So the Aztec Empire ended 5 centuries ago. The imperial language not only survived the conquest, it has thrived in modern times. The second most widely spoken indigenous language behind the Inca language. Quetzal boasts over a million speakers in central Mexico in these first decades of the 21st century.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Aztec ghost in the Metro stations speaks to modern-day people in his native language, and these people somehow understand him. In some stories, he asks startled commuters, what's happened to and where is he, as if he is lost. In one version of the story, he is dressed as a jaguar knight, and is eager to rejoin the fellow warriors in the Aztec army to continue fighting some battle.
In another version, he is dressed in the common cactus fiber tulum of a humble peasant, sad at what his beautiful city has become, and voicing his disappointment with the modern world. Some of these sightings have reached the local news media and have many Mexican City residents believing that these Aztec ghosts are real spirits who somehow trapped in our time, perhaps confused and longing to return to the splendor of their ancient capital city.
The Mexico City subway system is home to seemingly endless miles of tunnels, almost 200 stations, and plenty of strange tales. As with anything paranormal, one must ask, are these strange stories real, partly based on fact, or outright fabrications?
Perhaps a ride on the metro is in order. While among the multitudes of passengers, just be careful to watch out for witches, the rats, the vampires, and the many ghosts.
Ooh. Well, as we wrap this episode to close, we want to say thank you for listening to this episode and sharing it with your friends and family.
Sounds so fierce.
Share it with your friends and family. That is the best way you can support the show, getting the word out, and
help us get more listeners and followers, because we would love to reach as many people as we can.
And leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple and you use Apple Podcasts, Google, whatever you, whatever you do, like Podchaser has a rating and review system on there as well. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay. Going over to CozyCrypto.com and checking out the merchant store merchandise. We have a new merchandise line. We start a set up. Get hats, t-shirts, wall art,
fanny packs.
Fanny pack. I don't have fanny packs. I don't know.
You used to.
I used to, but I might. I'd check. If it could be. We got shorts, leggings. Don't
forget to go to the brands section of the CozyCrypted.com site.
Yeah, go to CozyCrypted.com/brands, and there you'll see a bunch of discount codes, which you can save money and help support the show with sunglasses, jewelry, clothing.
Pretty much anything you can think of.
Hats. And if you want to, if you're a small business owner and you want a shout out, let me know and we'll
make that happen.
Make it happen.
And also, we would love to do a viewer episode.
Listener episode. Yep. So please fill out the form. If you have any questions or story submissions, and your listener, fill that out or contact me at CozyCrypto.com or at CozyCrypto Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. I think I might.
And don't forget to follow him on Twitch, which is G1.
G1 Tanner. Twitch, yeah. I'm streaming Red Dead Redemption 2,
which is actually pretty interesting.
Even watching?
I have.
I never see you in there.
Because I can't always have it on while I'm at work. So the first, I'm in there for the first like 20 minutes and then I have to close my phone.
Oh. Sometimes I see people in there and I ain't sure. I see people there that I know are actual people. But, like, I don't know if they're actually watching. This would be in the chat. I don't know. Anyway, check me out on Twitch. If any questions or stories, please submit them so we can do a listener episode.
Definitely. And stay tuned for the next episode.
Yeah. I think we might have another guest coming on. So we'll try to hear
soon. Hopefully we'll have what's her name back on and we'll actually record a reading for you guys.
Yeah, maybe.
Have a great week and we will see you next week.
See you next week. End it. Okay.
30,000 it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.